Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Hour number three is now underway. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Hit me up on that text line. We'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. Once again, we recap the news. South Carolina last night went for Darlene Graham. She defeated Ralph Norman and in a 4-point race. I would not have expected that. I was wrong. I did not think she was a very good candidate. I think she is still not a very good candidate. However, something happened. People voted for her. I give a lot of credit to Donald Trump. And I think he matters. Paul, you know, the president of the United States comes to your town, does a rally, and you're going to be the beneficiary of it, at least in a Republican primary. Does that translate to the general election? Perhaps. Certainly matters more than, say, Joe Biden coming to, you know, when he was president campaigning for Democrats. It's a unique situation because typically in the second term of a presidency, that party's members of Congress don't want to be anywhere near the president. Donald Trump's kind of an anomaly. You look at 98, now granted there was a Monica Lewinsky scandal, but were Democrats clamoring to have Bill Clinton come to their districts? Obviously, we said George Bush. Maybe Obama is somewhat of an exception here as well. Obama remains very popular in Democratic Party politics, and I'd say this about him. He's a pretty good speaker. But right now, at least in Republican Party politics, he still has sway, has influence. I won't go as far as to say that he controls the Republican Party, but he matters. It's not just a either-or kind of thing. It's somewhere in between. Also, the passing of Dolly Parton, significant. Kind of a weird thing going on with, I guess, political camps trying to declare something out of it. Well, Dolly really stood for women's rights or, you know, more government, whatever it is. That's a little odious, but it's a thing. And then we've obviously been on the sort of evergreen flight camera data center discussion. There were a few municipal elections last night in Alabama. Auburn reelected Ron Anders. Craig Ford reelected in Gadsden. And Huntsville went about as expected. I guess Tommy Battle, I'm not sure if he even had an opponent in Huntsville. One thing did happen, Bessemer's elections were yesterday. And this is a problem that they weren't able to post the results because of a claimed IT issue. There was a technology issue, surprise, in Bessemer where they did not get their election results. That's the kind of things that need to be corrected sooner rather than later. Let's hit up some text here. Maz, not going to criticize Michael Harris for hitting 295 at this point in the season other than swinging at too many bad pitches. Hitters take way too many good pitches and swing away at the bad pitches out of the zone. Yeah, I'm okay with him swinging away, but I don't think you need a lineup of just like gunslingers. There's not enough in that lineup of the Matt Olson, maybe to some degree Ozzie Albies. used to at the very beginning, Mauricio Dubon, those guys who work pitch counts, make these guys throw eight pitches. They're trying to get it all back in one big swing. Like Austin Riley is the culprit, but he's got some other things going on. But you just watch, you're like, what are you swinging at that? Take some pitches. If you get a 3-1 count, sure. Or a 3-0 count, or even a 2-0 count, whatever. Harris, but he's proven himself. He just, I just wish he would walk a little more. Sorry, more sports ball. Abby, I'm starting to think the data centers, if like, or other cameras are two sides of the same surveillance coin. I don't know the data centers are necessarily all about surveillance. I mean, we use AI in our everyday life. I take submissions. I'm an editor of a news site. I will take submissions from people who aren't on staff. I tell you, the one thing I see is AI-generated copy, and it's so obvious that it is. People are using it. It shows up. You read some websites, and also, like, how many images, how many social media posts. There's a lot of AI that's being used. Makes me a little uncomfortable. But I think there's more to it than just surveillance and tracking your whereabouts and snooping in on your phone calls. Continuing on here. Hey, Jet, this is Billy D. I know you're absolutely right about those data centers. Elon Musk is saying he's going to be putting them in space in probably the next 10 years because of it. Everything is cold. So there's no worry about overheating, and that's going to be the future. Yeah, The storage of data will be a thing somewhere, somehow, some way. I absolutely understand the environmental concerns. And I think there's things you could do at this stage of the game to address some of those. Now, do I trust the Alabama Department of Environmental Management to be our watch? No, not at all. But because we have bad government agencies doesn't mean we should ban an entire sector of the economy either. Name texture, the Sacramento forecast was spot on. That was not great. Well, she had a deer in headlights thing to her. And I guess the appeal, it got people to vote for her on two levels. Was, I think Trump had a lot to do with it. She was endorsed by a lot of different U.S. senators. That helps. They spent money here or there in South Carolina. Also, she had the Graham name. She was Lindsey's sister. I'll never understand completely the Lindsey Graham phenomenon. How someone like that would get elected time and time and time again. You seem to be out of sorts with the politics there, but he was their guy. So it was probably some carryover there. Continue on. Mike, for the upcoming breast cancer benefit, I think Bras Across the Causeway should transition to Bras Across the Dolly Parton Bridge in her honor. It's clever. He also writes, just look at what China used user camera surveillance for. That's a system being set up, digital surveillance. It's a system pattern you will absolutely be used for the next time the government unleashes another pandemic. Scott Harris and meanwhile have loved this system and 100% would have used it to lock down even harder. Yeah, I think you're right. I think this technology has existed in other states and we absolutely, or you know, question it when it comes to Alabama. It's fair game. We ought to be questioning it. And how it's used. So it's going to exist. You can't just ban the existence of flock cameras. However, you can say to your local police chief, to your local mayor, to city council, hey, I don't really feel comfortable with these things on every street corner or wherever they're going to be used. I don't like that. And you could vote them out. My guess is this will just kind of be a blip in the radar. Tony, I heard the governor of Louisiana on his phone this morning saying that he made a deal with Meta, the data centers, that they would provide their own power and use their excess power into the grid and will come at no cost to the state. Seems like we could do that here. Absolutely. It just depends on what their power generation is. Fire Dog. Heat in a vacuum is a huge issue versus terrestrial cooling. Space is an insulator. Jason. Hey, Jeff, how important was her having the entire Graham staff team intact for the campaign? It had to matter some. Yeah, you know, they know every nook and cranny of that state. They've been with Lindsey Graham a long time. They know what the, you know, sort of like here. Know what Republican clubs matter, the ones you got to go, people you got to go talk to, who to fundraise from. There's a legacy there, an institutional knowledge that absolutely, I think, helped. Toothless Bamber, Obama's second term, he was toxic to some of the Downing candidates. They didn't want his help, stay home. Do we think that Toothless Bamber is true with Trump? There may be a few out there who, I mean, there's already Republicans who just don't like Trump anyway. Or even better, they say they like him and they don't really like him. That's a real thing. But my blind spot here on this Wednesday morning was how much of an impact Trump was going to have. And how do I know it was Trump? I just look at where he did his rally. And Darlene Graham won big. And that's, I think she's from, so that's the far east part of the state. If you look at a map of South Carolina, kind of up along the coast there on the North Carolina border. She's from the west part of the state. I think more between Augusta and Columbia somewhere. And it wasn't like a hometown thing at all. Having the president come to your city matters. And it's not the most significant of the population centers in South Carolina. But you look at what the swing counties are supposed to be. Everyone told me, Will told us yesterday on the show, Charleston was the one to watch. And it went 56-44 for her. Columbia, that's Richland County, went 56-44 as well. Rock Hill, that's a Charlotte suburb. That went for Ralph Norman, actually, York County. By a big, big number, 64-36. Let's get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.
They can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Tomorrow on the program, we'll have April Marie Fogle, and I think at least one bigger guest. to will be announced later, but also another guest, absolutely two guests to be named later, as I got to kind of be a little flexible with the scheduling for tomorrow, but hopefully you could tune in for that. 251-343-0106 to come here in just a moment. Jerry Carl, candidate for the 1st Congressional District, will make time for us. Just a few texts here. Be dark, Jeff. Don't worry too much about cameras. They always keep it up with your finances with direct deposit and bank cards. They do that in crime. I mean, if you're a wanted person and then all of a sudden your ATM card shows up at, you know, a place, they know where to come find you. It should be noted that Darlene Graham is not bad looking. She is a cute, older Southern every woman and not considered that scrovering. And Killer B, so about power is going to be selling our data and selling power to collect that data? No, not exactly. They are selling. They are selling where the cameras are stationed. They won't own the data. And yes, they will be selling the power. They are selling the means to collect the data, is my understanding how this works. Still, yeah, you're right. There's that incestuous nature of it. But that is the thing about Alabama Power. They have right of way. We had a big right of way fight. You heard Finn Church on Sean's program the other day. Are they abusing their right of way authority, trying to profit? I mean, these are absolutely fair questions. Mike, I'm really hoping your special guest is Tucker. No, it won't be Tucker Carlson. I need to get him on sometime. I try to I've only used it a couple of times since I've left the Daily Caller. But I'm going to try. Yeah, at some point, we'll get him back on. I don't know what I'd ask. I need to think about it. But he's still a good friend, and he still keeps in touch. He's going through a tough time right now. You know, no matter what you think of where he stands on these different issues, that's the pressure cooker. 251-343-0106. See what else we got on the list here. A couple of sports ball things that are kind of in the political realm, I guess. The Big Ten and the SEC going off and creating their own sort of rules on former professional athletes coming back to play for an SEC team. I mean, the looks of that, guys, is that there are some problems with college athletics. And there's a clamoring to get Congress involved. And Congress can't agree on what that involvement should look like. I'm going to say this about college athletics. And I think these presidents and these universities have no one to blame but themselves, because for decades they profited off of it in a big, big, big way and never really considered the possibility that someone would challenge a system that was used for self-enrichment. The way it was done was not going to last forever, especially as more money got involved in TV contracts, and it became more, I think, of a centerpiece of American culture. Football in general, but certainly college athletics. That this was a problem that was... it was kind of festering. And now that, you know, a handful of courts have ruled in favor of the college athlete, they don't seem to have an answer for it. Everything is reactionary. But this is something that I think should have been long ago considered, and it just wasn't. They thought they could maintain the status quo, and here we are. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. But what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Have a real
touch on this heart of mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the program? Hit us up on that text line. Joining us now on the program, he is the Republican nominee in the 1st Congressional District here in South Alabama for Congress. Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jeff. I'm actually sitting up here in Bay Harbor, Maine. I think it's the name of this place. Yeah, Bay Harbor. And everybody's complaining about the heat up here. It's winds blowing about 15 miles per hour, zero humidity, and 77 degrees. So if they call this hot, I think I'll bring a little bit of it back home for us.
Well, I lived in Maine in my childhood. We lived in Bangor, Maine for a little while, not very long.
That's due north of here.
Went down where you're at a bunch of times over the years, but I know it pretty well. The Arcadia National Park there, and you know, it's a neat little place. The coastline there, Maine.
That's where my wife and I are headed as soon as we get through here.
Well, have a good time there. It's
I will.
It's a good break from the hustle and bustle and the heat and humidity here in Alabama.
Yeah, this is our only break to get, you know, before the campaign really gets heated up. So we're taking advantage of it just a few days, not anything major.
Well, thanks for taking a break from your vacation to come on the show. How, I guess, aside from being away, how is the campaign?
Well, the campaign's looking good. I mean, we're looking strong. We're getting, you know, we're getting tons of support, people calling in, volunteering. We're, you know, everything's right online. Right after Labor Day, obviously, everything will really kick off and everybody will get busy as far as everyone's campaign. But, you know, my heart tells me today that people need to hear that, you know, we've got a nation to save here. Just because Donald Trump's in office, that doesn't mean we're a saved nation. I remember in 2020, when I went in there right in behind COVID, which was obviously sworn in 2021, I mean, it was miserable. I mean, we watched the borders being open, wide open. We watched businesses being shut down by the federal government. You know, they were picking the winners and the losers from a federal standpoint. I mean, it was just our fisheries were, you know, they were trying to cut back on our snapper fishing. And all these things in 2020, I was the only one up there from South Alabama. So these issues really touched home for me. Folks, don't think for a second these people have gone anywhere. They may have gotten quiet. They may have gotten silent temporarily, but you know, they want to take this seat. They want to take the governor's seat. They want to take anything they can get their hands on, these same people. And we have to elect people and fight back against them. If we don't, we're going to see some dramatic changes in the state of Alabama. So the Republican base, please wake up. Let's vote.
Yeah, you know, this wave of there's a populism in America right now, but there's a fork in the road and it's going in two different directions. And obviously, very early, you saw it a lot more in Republican Party politics, but it's now kind of catching up to the Democrats. And you know, in some ways, I think they got to figure that out on the Democrat side. But there's like a real possibility here that some of these guys do get elected and that they do impact policy.
They do. And again, those changes, you know, everybody says, well, Alabama, we, you know, the Republican Party controls it. Today we might. If we don't get out and vote, tomorrow may be a totally different story. So, you know, I'm encouraging people to, you know, start looking. We've got the Republican base nominated, just like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is only one man, and he has done an incredible job with his policies. And none of them, not all of them are, do we like, but you know, you got to take the good with the bad sometime. But this country, this state has got to wake up and get out and vote. You know, we had a 5-6% in my last race. We anticipated that. Surely we can do much better than 10 or 12% in our general. You know, I'm hoping we get 30+%. But the Republican base has got to turn out. Our Democrat base, they're motivated. Right now, they're mad because of the redistricting. They're mad because they had to give up some geographic areas that was right for them. And they're going to show it. They're going to beat us to death at the polls if we let them. So District 1, District 2, you know, we've got to turn our base out to vote. That's the Republican Party.
Well, tell me this. Like, let's talk about apathy. And everybody's got a theory on it. Well, why do we suffer from low turnout? And it doesn't. Why is there this lack of engagement, you think, when it comes to politics that people, I mean, everyone's busy, everyone's got busy lives, but this just voting is not something that they clearly, at least in Alabama, see as a priority.
Well, you know, the political side, you and I, we live in. So, you know, it's our life. So we're constantly talking about it and dealing with it. That's fine. This is the business that we've chose to be in. I think that's from a line from The Godfather. But the average American, I mean, they're busy working, trying to make a living and raise their families. They leave politics up to people like you and I. But, you know, there also comes a time when we have to rally, not just as a Republican Party locally, but as a Republican Party as a national. And that's when we have our general elections. We didn't get much attention paid to us in our special. But in the general, we've got to get people out to vote. I think people are tired of being signs on the side of the road and being pushed to vote here and pushed to vote there. It was a lot of confusion with this last special. I get that, too. All of us were confused. But August the 3rd is a no-brainer. Excuse me. November the 3rd is a no-brainer. So we need to get everyone out to vote. It's that simple, Jeff.
Well, you know, and what's your take on sort of, you know, people like you said, they rely on us on the politics. And then I wonder this, is there like an election fatigue? Do we, in my memory, it does seem I'm hyper aware of politics and when people vote and trends and things like that. But here in the last like 3, 4, 5 years, it does seem like there's, you know, either municipal or local or a primary or a runoff. And we're like almost on a monthly basis now. If people are getting a little, you know, just I can't do this every month. I got to go and live my life.
And I don't blame them a bit, Jeff. But again, I mean, we as the elected officials, we as the leaders in politics, we have to fight the fight that's before us. And the fight that's before us is, you know, for me, it's three different elections in 1 year. I mean, that's been the fight, just to keep people's attention. I understand people getting tired of voting. No one understands better than the candidate, because the candidate's spending the money. They're spending their time. I mean, for the last year, I've done nothing but eat, sleep, and breathe and spend every dollar and lay my hands on a campaign. So I understand the fatigue, but we still can't give up. We can't quit on our country. We can't quit on our state. We can't quit in our local. We have to keep the fight going. If not, we're going to go back to 2020. We're going to go back to open borders. I went to the border and watched, Jeff, I watched those people coming across that border. They didn't slow up one bit when they walked by me. And I had an entourage of border agents and everything around me. So it's not like I was invisible. But they never slowed up. And, you know, 10 million people crossing the border with the Democrats in control. Folks, we got to wake up. I'm telling you, we have got to keep Republicans in office. Trump's only going to be there for 2 more years. You know, we've got to shore up our House, make sure we take the Senate, and local politics continue doing what we're doing. You know, let's find conservative-minded people and get them elected.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here a little more further, and I ask, you know, at least on this show, people talk about that they went and voted. They just don't feel like that vote matters. They feel like there's a lot of promises are made and they're not kept. And it'd be that they just don't trust the institutions that orchestrate the elections. They feel like there's something untoward. Now, you know, whether that's the reality or not is, you know, maybe not necessarily the debate I'm trying to make here, but that's the perception, and that's sort of impacting behavior. What do you say to people who you feel like, you know, hey, I went out and I did the right thing and I voted and I was promised all this and very little of it has come to fruition?
I get it, especially young people getting involved in politics. I make a lot of promises that I know they can't deliver. I hope as someone that's been involved in a few elections that I don't promise something I can't deliver. I'm very, very cautious what I say when I tell people what I can or I can't do. But I've been called a liar. I've been told to my face that I didn't do what I said. And of course, you know, that my response mentally is I don't recall that, but that's not an excuse. But you can't give up. I mean, we can't give up as a nation. We can't give up as a vote. That one vote is extremely important. I can give you a handful of elections I was involved in that I've seen that six or less votes made the difference. Six or less votes. And those are congressional races, Jeff. That's 770,000 people in a district, and six votes made a difference. I mean, don't ever think your vote doesn't count. And that is your way of expressing your opinion on the direction of this country. So if you don't vote and the wrong person gets in there, in my opinion, you have no right to complain.
Yeah, but my suspicion is the people who are complaining are the ones who do vote. But let's take those people out of the equation. There are people who maybe they keep their mouth shut. They're not on Facebook or whatever. Maybe they're just casual listeners to this program. They do feel like, hey, I voted and this didn't happen. What's the point? And that's because that's what I run into a lot. Just kind of a conversation. Yeah.
Well, I get it, especially on a federal level. On a local level, hopefully you can have more of a conversation with that elected official or with their staff. And I challenge anyone, you know, once you get somebody elected, let them know how you feel. And you don't have to be negative and nasty about it. But if it's something you don't like, make a phone call, leave a message, send an email. Again, now the nasty stuff, I don't even bother reading. I'll be honest with you. And if somebody doesn't bother to sign it, I don't bother to read it. Because I like to reach back out and try to understand why this person disagreed with me and try to win them to my side, or I might actually learn something.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be more of that. But, you know, based on your personal experience, and before you were a congressman, you were a county commissioner, I find this to be the case more of the rule than the exception is that at least at the local level, these elected officials are responsive to constituents. They do, like, if you make a good faith effort to get in touch with your state lawmaker or even your member of Congress or your city councilman, they will try to circle back with you and at least address whatever the concern is.
Well, the real challenge for me is Alabama's the first on the list, and District 1 is first on the list. So every group that had an axe to grind, I was the first call made. So if they had 1,000 people making phone calls, we got that 1,000 phone calls in a day or two-day period. And that's the downside. So, and this is nationwide. I'm talking about nationwide pushes. So that's when it gets frustrating because we have to try to filter through that and figure out who's actually in our district. And we asked, and they don't always tell the truth, believe it or not, but we asked, are you in the district? And we take a message. But you know, I like to talk to people. I like to hear their views. I think social media is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to politics because everybody's an expert when they get on social media. And one thing I've learned in life is sometimes you have to let things play out. Sometimes you have to give it time to form and come together. And, you know, an idea is taken this day and age as being the gospel. And, you know, it's going to just crush and ruin the country. When in reality, it's just an idea. It's just a seed. It's just getting started. So we have to be a little less judgmental when things first come out. Some things are pretty obvious, but most things are just ideas that have come out. I've got one right now that I've already got planned. I want to go in. It's one of the first things I want to do when I get on natural resources. I want these solar companies, to actually buy a bond that says if they go bankrupt or if they move away, that bond cleans that land site up. That's something that has to be done. because it's easy to declare bankruptcy and walk away and leave the taxpayers stuck cleaning it up. Because I think solar energy is just a fad right now. I truly do.
Well, and then there's all these government subsidies that prop it up. But the data center discussion, too, I think there's a similar thing to be said about that. As we, and I've been saying this a lot on the show, that I think, we'll make strides and data storage will become more compact, more efficient. Maybe we won't need these big, big, giant, huge facilities with all the environmental concerns to store data as we kind of figure things out. But if we go ahead and build these things and they're all over the landscape, and in 20 years we, figure out the greatest thing since sliced bread in this arena, and those things go away, I don't want it looking like, Alexander City or Monroeville or some of these, old industrial towns in Alabama where the company, downsizes, walks away, moves to China or Latin America or whatever, and the locals get stuck with this. Well, what are we going to do with this facility?
So I'm working with a company now that the technology is going to totally revolutionize what's going on there. And it's probably about 7 to 10 years away. So I totally agree with what you're saying. I've met with, and get me on another time and I'll tell you all the conversations I've had, but I've met with the power companies. Their biggest fear right now is building power plants and these companies being replaced with technology. And now they've got a power plant they can't use. The water sources are not a big deal. For the water companies, they feel like they can handle it. They say it's equivalent to about 50 houses a day of water use, which to them is a very small number. I mean, I can go through the punch list of all the people that I've actually met with on these data centers. But the technology, you're exactly right, Jeff, is going to replace it. It's going to go from a big building down to a microchip, probably the size of your hand, if not smaller. And it's just like we've seen computers. My grandmother saw one of the first computers at Brookley Field, and it was the size of one of those aircraft hangars. That's how big that computer was. She told me this story. I wasn't alive then, obviously. But look at it now. That same computer is probably four times that computer's capability now is in a cell phone that we just take for granted every day. So technology will do away with those centers.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that mentality.
Guys, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on this morning. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jerry Carl.
God bless you.
Thank you. Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, running for the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District. Let's get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Wednesday morning. Ultra Runner, if you're seeing AI writing and plagiarists are elevated at Harvard and Cambridge, do we have the same problem at Alabama or Auburn? Does April Marie have access to copy leaks? Jason is Meemaw, the mystery guest. That's a negative ghostwriter. And Scrollverine, Harvard elaborative grammar were to use idioms or phrases like high step and turkey, it might not go over. Well, coming up here shortly, midday mobile. Sean, what you got?
Somebody said high step in turkey. Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, we'll forever live on in Alabama folklore.
Absolutely. Let's see. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk first of all, vacation. All you ever wanted, vacation, had to get away. Pritchard PD, everybody get out of here. Right? September 4th, the Sheriff's Department said they're going to pull back. Right? They'll do assistance on major crimes, but that's it. So, and Pritchard PD is all out. They're all told to go play the home version of the game. And no sheriff's department. So What exactly is going to happen on midnight, September 4th?
We need more go-go references on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, but really, like...
You were doing your old thing going through the decades the other day. You should have used go-go's.
Yeah, that would have been good for the 80s. But I started thinking about it. I mean, we're talking about it. It's a news story. But what's going to happen? I mean, it is serious. September 4th, no law enforcement in Pritchard?
Is this sort of like...
Is this negotiations? I don't know.
And the tactic, yeah. Because, the what will have to happen is the governor would have to call the National Guard from a police force.
I was setting you up so you'd say it. Yeah, that's what it would be. So, but yeah, we will talk about that. Also, remembering Dolly Parton today. I know Erica Thomas has a story over at 1819news.com about it. She and I will talk about it. Plus, Cameron Smith has a story in the Tennessean. We'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. All straight ahead on Midday Mobile.
All right. I'll be on tonight. Tiger Talk Overtime. Following Tiger Talk, Josh Moon and I are going to handle the co-hosting duty. So I don't know how that is going to go, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. In the meantime, I got to get out of here. My time is done. Sorry, fellas, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where